Hello and welcome to the She Can Share podcast, where I am going to help you arise and shine as the woman of influence that God is calling you to be, where you are going to learn how to share your God-given gifts, talents, and abilities with the world through content creation and by just being who you are. You are meant to let go of shame, guilt, condemnation, and fear, and arise and shine and be the light of the world. So whether you're here to grow your influence, grow your business, or just learn some content creation tips to express Christ in you, I want you to know that I'm here for it. So let's get started. Hey everyone, welcome back to the She Can Share podcast. I have a really special guest on the show today. His name is Tim Morris, and I met Tim actually in a group training where he was teaching us how to step into your God-given call and calling by really assessing the desires that God's put in your heart. And the reason why I had him on the show is because I feel like in the Christian community, sometimes we can want to almost like pray away our desires, thinking that they're evil. But I love Tim's take on it, and I'm excited to have him as a guest. So a little bit about Tim. He lives in Cleveland, Lakewood, Ohio with his wife and four children. He is a graduate of Denver Seminary with a master's in divinity and is a professional certified coach. He has coached and facilitated workshops, courses, and seminars with marketplace, nonprofit, and church leaders. Tim's heart beats to help leaders understand the redemption of the heart's desires through the new heart revealed in the new covenant, and to understand how the motivational drive from the new heart's desires reveal brilliant and powerful strategies for all areas of life, including relationships, work, ministry, and play in partnership with the Holy Spirit. So Tim, welcome to the show.
Glad to be here.
Yeah. So tell me, how did you get into doing what you're doing, and share with us a little bit about your story?
Yeah. Well, I had a mentor in Colorado who took me through a process to help me name my design as a contingency to mentor me. And so that he told me that even before I started at seminary in Denver. And Denver Seminary was unique because it had a mentorship program. So I said, okay, and was shocked at how much I found about myself, how much I didn't know. I thought I knew a lot about myself, but found out that there was a lot more. And so he let me use his process, and then I ended up overhauling and overhauling and overhauling, ended up rebuilding from the ground up. But basically, I was impacted heavily by this reality that desire is wanting to tell things to me if I'm willing to listen. Mm-hmm. And so I got into, there's a lot of layers to my story with that, but I just was blown away by how specific desire can be. And then also my background, I have a very conservative background, grew up, I would say, very fundamentalist, conservative, and like most people, even if you're not raised in that culture, the heart is wicked and deceitful, and all these scriptures that are from the book of Jeremiah that are quoted out of context, which I didn't know, and I grew up in that world. So I grew up in the world that said, you know, we need to learn the Bible. This is good. We need to learn to interpret the Bible and pray. This is good. I learned how to hear the Holy Spirit at one point. But the topic of desire was still like, I don't know what to do with that. Mm-hmm. I have a story, my earlier story that God's showing me even more and more as of late, is I went through trauma at a very young age when I found out my biological father, or the guy that I called dad, was not dad. Was not my biological father. He did adopt me, and I still call him dad. But little did I know, my whole life growing up, there was a part of me that didn't know who I was. And when I tapped into this piece about design and desire, it tapped into a deep part of me. And Had to go through some trauma and some unusual things for God to show me, you see, this is why you really like this topic, and this is why you have impact, because deep down in the roots of who you are, you didn't know who you were. And how I'm no sort of naturally able to help be present with people on this topic, because my story deeply touches it in ways that, of course, I didn't wish that, wouldn't have wished that would have been my story in the beginning, but God is redemptive and good. So is that enough?
Yeah, I'm curious. Yes, yes, yes. It's great. I'm curious, like when you talk about desire and design, how do you find that those two things correlate?
Yeah, so when I refer to design, what I am referring to is the design of your desires.
Okay.
So your desires do have a pattern to them. Like I have a whole bigger thing I do that unlocks the pattern of in a framework, but our desires are static in a there is an element where they're not constantly shifting. In the sense of there's core elements of us similar to values. Like we're talking about values, but I look at it a little bit different, is that you're going to find core parts of your desires that don't change. Now, there are going to be desires that are dynamic, that change within the opportunities, that change within the seasons. But the core of the way God designed our hearts' desires, there's certain things you desire to do, be places you want to go, people you want to serve, those kinds of things. And they're there, and God is in the business of redeeming that, I'm finding.
Yeah. Can you, just to like bring it home, do you have any stories like of, I'm sure you do, but any stories that you could share of, you know, you were working with this church leader or this person or this business person, and they tapped into their real desires. Can you share any of those stories?
I have many. Which would be a good one to share? Sure. I'll share a story. There was a guy that I was working with who met with me. I got on an initial coaching call, like consult call with him. And, you know, I started the call with, where do you want to go today? And he said, well, you know, I'm here because my wife wanted me to be here. And like, and I knew his wife. I actually worked with his wife. And I'm like, oh boy, here we go. We're here because your wife wants you here. So we're starting off the right foot. This guy's funny. He's like, no, actually, I don't know. I just wanted to see like maybe where you could take me. And so I switched the topic right away to, okay, tell me what your dreams are. And dreams are a intensified or heightened version of desire. So when someone says I have a dream to do something, I'm listening closely, because that often is the north, you know, that's the true north of where God's trying to take someone at the deep future level. So this guy like doesn't like that I ask him the dream question. And I love this guy. He wears himself, you know, on his sleeves. And like, so he's like, all right. My dream, he's like, it's to advise the president. And I'm like, okay. And he's like, I'm watching this guy and I'm just seeing he's really struggling emotionally after he said this. And I'm like, what's going on? And he's like, I tried going after this. I tried it. And my friends, you know, poo-pooed my idea. And I just, you know, I lost track of it. Now, this guy was a pretty successful lawyer at this point in his 50s and pretty bored with his career. So I asked him another crazy question. I said, well, what's your next step? And he goes, and I'm just like, and I just sit there quietly. And I sense the Holy Spirit's like, do not say a word to him and let him sit with the silence. So he's like, I don't know. Maybe I should read a book on advising or something. Now this guy lives in California, you know, quite a ways from Washington, D.C. And I'm like, no, I'm watching his emotions like a hawk. So here's something to know about desire. Emotions actually are very important as they relate to desire, because they're indicators of how you're navigating your desires. So what we feel is a response to what we're desiring. So things like the higher joy emotions that sometimes people call them, like happiness, peace, joy. Those are a response that we are strongly operating in desire in a way that we're in agreement with, that we like, right? So some of the lower joy emotions like depression, fear, anxiety, a lot of these are often indicators of where we're getting far away from them. And we often don't know how to even name that. But our emotions say it. Our emotions give us language for where the heart's at. So anyways, it's a side note. Sorry. So I'm watching this guy's emotions like a hawk because they're telling me where he's at with desire. And I'm going, you don't seem too excited about reading a book for your next step for advising the president. He's like, nah. And so I go, let's be crazy here for a moment. What if you actually had some fun in this project, like for the initial steps? And he's like, fun. He's like, what's that word? So clearly his career was getting boring. And so he finally slows down and takes me serious. And he goes, I have an idea. And I'm like, what's your idea? And he said, I have this feeling that if I go find a charitable project in California or in Northern, it's in like SoCal, or no, it's in the Bay Area. He said, if I find a project like Habitat for Humanity, he said, for some reason, every time I do these, I rub shoulders with people from Washington, D.C., or they have connections with D.C. He's like, I don't know why, but that's coming to my mind right now. And I'm like, okay. So we meet in a couple weeks to follow up with what happens. And he gets on the call and he's like, Tim, you would never believe what happened. I'm like, what happened? And he said, the first person I called to find a charitable project like Habitat for Humanity tells me, hey, like, just out of curiosity, why are you looking for this right now? And he tells them, there's this crazy Tim guy, and he's wanting me to pursue my dreams. And the guy's like, well, what are they? And he says, to go to D.C. and advise the president. And the guy, like, he goes, he tells him right here on the spot, he goes, you know what? He says, do you know that there are lawyer positions in D.C., literally next to the White House, that are vacant now in your specific niche in law? And the guy was like, no. And he said, so do you know you probably could get a job right now and be positioned right next to the White House right away? And so the guy was thrown. And the last time I saw this guy, he was having his, you know, come to Jesus moment about whether he would do it or not. Well, his wife had told him, honey, you've been a good, loving husband. You've been faithful. I want you to know you could do a test and fly home on some weekends and just see how it goes for 6 months. But he was having the come to Jesus moment with the fact that the strategy was being revealed by desire. So when I had him tune in to fun, when I asked him what would be the next step, what I was asking him to do was pay attention to what do you really want to do? How would you like to go about doing this? But I use the word fun instead. I see this happen all the time. Like, I'm working with leaders and they are stuck in an impossible situation. Often they've never been beyond this territory before. And often what our default response is to go into logical strategy, which is, you know, typically called the shoulds. And shoulds are poison to desire, which means they love to stop our strategy and rob us right where we could have breakthrough. So usually my goal is to get people to tap back into desire when they feel like they're stuck. And it's really common when I'm meeting with leaders for the first 20 to 30 minutes of a call, they're frustrated. They're venting out all the shoulds that have been told to them that they need to do in this certain situation they're in. And then when I slow them down, okay, what do you want to do? Often they're like, they come up with solutions that are quite frankly brilliant. And they're often very simple. Like, this guy from here to DC could happen literally overnight just because he talked to one guy, but he went through the doorway of desire about Habitat for Humanity. Like, and this is how God works. I find God is so upside down in his revelation of strategies. And desire makes you, it causes you to depend on the Father. Like, you can't control desire, which is why it's, I call desire, desire is a leading indicator. It's meant to lead you. And that in partnership, that we're meant to partner with the Holy Spirit. So anyways, that's one example, but I've seen this stuff all the time. And I've seen people lead and do crazy stuff as they've, make sure they listen to desire.
Yeah, I love that story so much, Tim. And part of the reason why I asked you on the show was because that actually is also the origin for how God worked in my life when I was working in childcare. And I was like, I don't know, God, what do you want me to do? What's the next step? Like all these things. And I really felt the Holy Spirit ask me, Melissa, stop it. What do you want to do? And I couldn't answer it. And my response was, and this was me feeling like so bare bones, like this isn't like a great, and I just said, if I could just have a job where I could talk to people all day, because that's what I'm like good at, that would be great. And then a month later, he told me to post video content online. The first one I posted got 22 million views, and I ended up on the Kelly Clarkson show.
Wow.
But it came from that question of, what do you want to do? And I would actually love to know your thoughts on this, but, you know, I find that a lot of, especially Christians and believers, like they have such a pure heart to serve God that they eventually, because they're like, whatever, I'll serve, I'll do it. That they lose touch with who they actually are. And this whole thing of whatever you want me to do, God, that they're not actually tapping into that, that they become really disconnected and kind of seem to lose themselves. I don't know. Have you found that?
Yeah, great point. That's I mean, the more I am growing in my work and skill set, the more God's bringing people of influence to me, which I'm going to tell you, I'm seeing people of influence more and more these days where I'm going, all right, these guys are going to have this stuff figured out. And almost nobody does, because all of us have dealt with that voice that says you are not allowed to listen to desire from all kinds of angles. I'm not the guy that's going to say Satan's behind every bush, but I'm going to tell you he's behind this bush. Like, I would actually argue this is one of the top five things he targets in the kingdom, period, is to get people to be distracted and try to get them to reason that their heart is not worth listening to. Because if the new covenant gives us a new heart, that's a big deal. This means the gospel gives you a new heart. So I have found I've actually never met someone where desire is not difficult to grasp or to take a hold of. And especially as we grow as leaders, we'll actually find new areas where desire was trying to talk to us. And we're like, I don't know, that's a little scary. So we all have sort of unique theologies from all different kinds of worldviews and all kinds of church positions. But yeah, most of us have been taught, you know, in general, a lot of us have been taught to study the Bible to find God's will. That's one. And obviously we do. And then the other side of it is some of us have been taught to listen to the Holy Spirit, which is awesome. I was part of a tradition that we taught that regularly. I mean, people like would learn to hear the Holy Spirit like you learn to hear anyone. And that was like really weird to a lot of people too. And it was weird to me at first too. But to find someone that does the combination of learning to hear the Holy Spirit and desire, I have found it's pretty rare. And I have found that the more people develop in their journey with God, they have to start listening to desire. Because the equivalent to this is looking at parenting. So, you know, I got four little ones, and, you know, this idea that God is just going to tell me everything that I need to do. Like, I used to teach a course on how to hear God's voice, and you know, the interesting phenomenon that I watched, the pattern was as people learn to hear God's voice, he would start going, what do you want? And I'm going, God, I don't like that question. Like, no, Lord, tell me. And I found out that actually the more I'm understanding that God is into my desire, it's actually changing my view on who he is. Because I'm finding out he's a desireful father and he's more freeing than I knew he would be. And like he's more generous than I knew he would be. So, you know, it's when he'll ask me, what do you want? Often, like when I finally am able to admit what I want, it's really common. I'll hear the Holy Spirit go, okay, have fun. And I'm like, was that God? Who is that?
So this is awesome. So I have to ask the question that probably everybody asks you, right? That people in my community are probably wondering is, how can you tell, right? Like when it's a selfish desire versus a God desire?
Great question. So this brings up the topic of the fact that there are two desires. There's an old heart and a new heart. The old heart is typically the flesh or the sinful nature, would be the New Testament terminology. So a key distinction between the two would be motive. So desire is another way of saying motive. Like, what's your motive? So in the end, someone that follows Jesus, their end motive will be to love God, love and love their neighbor as self, which is another piece, loving their self. That's a whole other podcast, right? Or 10 podcasts. but I would say this is where to answer this as practically as I can. Number one, I think you have to sit with your desire for a bit. Sit with it. Give it some time. And I think this is where bringing in the Holy Spirit is really crucial. Like, sitting with God. God, what do you want to say about this desire? Like, for example, like, you know, a lot of people, especially in the church, when we're starting to feel like maybe we want to make more money, we're like, oh, is this kingdom that I want to do this? Like, well, for sitting with the Father, he knows why we really want to make the money or we really don't. And so I've been through this where I'm like, God, I'm wanting my financial goals to go quite a bit higher. And it's starting to not be similar to what a lot of my friends would say. They would look at me and go, that's an ungodly amount. Like, or at least my perception in my head would be, even though they're not.
Yeah.
And so I'd sit with God, and it's really important to listen over, you know, give him a theme of time, multiple sittings. And so I have found if I'm sitting with the Father and I'm running it by community, you know, I think there's a lot of gray, to be honest. And this is the part that made me uncomfortable, is that God can ask me, what do you want? And I'm like, seriously, God, I could tell you 100 things I want. And he's like, that's okay. And I'm like, no, there's got to be one way. So to me, I don't know if I have the right answer for this other than it brings up the question of who is God and how much freedom is he actually giving me? Because desire can lead you 20 different ways and they're all awesome.
What I love about what you're saying is, you know, I think a lot of times if we have a desire or a feeling, even if it's a negative feeling, and I'm definitely guilty of this, that I just push it away. It's like, oh, I'm a good Christian, you know? And what you're saying is not to do that, to actually examine that, look at it, and be real about it, and have an honest conversation, an honest chat with Dad, and be like, okay, this is what I want. What do you think about it? And I am such a big, I hope everybody catches this in this episode, because I truly think, you know, think about your kids, right? Your kids are like, you walk into the store, can I have this toy? Can I have this? Can I have that? And you get to know, like, I know my son loves Pokemon right now, which I know a lot of people have given me flack for, but I know part of his heart because he's telling me. And I think that's the beautiful thing too, that I love about what you're saying, is God wants to know, have a relationship with us as much as we want to have, know what's in his heart. He wants to know what's in our heart.
Yeah. Yeah. Again, my perspective of the Father keeps changing. I keep seeing someone that's a little more chill in the way of like, he's not waiting to blast me if I screw it up. He's not there with his Zeus. Meh. Like, he's more, and he's so brilliantly, he's so good at surrounding us with confirmation of where he's leading us to. And the more I listen to desire, the confirmations are compounding. I mean, it's getting wacky. I have stories upon stories where, like, just the other day, I went to a coffee shop that, you know, coffee shops are big for me, but like, God has shown me one day, like, he asked me one morning, so where are you going? And I said, I'm going to a coffee shop. Like, and he said, which coffee shop? And I said, Starbucks. And he asked me, he said, why? I heard it very clearly. And I went, well, I'm working on my stars, God. I get my free drink. Being a steward, Lord, being simple in the kingdom. And I heard the Spirit stop me and go, Tim, which coffee shop do you really want to go to today? And it stopped me in my tracks. And I was like, strange, like, and I started to listen deeply to desire, and it told me to go to Panera across town. Now, I have a Panera on my street, like 1 minute from my house. But so, for some reason, I was feeling this strong desire to go to this Panera across town. I walk into this Panera, and I had this crazy series of revelation from God where he showed me. It was this bizarre Panera in a retirement village, and literally everyone was in there over 70 years old but me. I'm like the guy that's like, hi, I'm the young guy. And I'm sitting in this Panera, and God out of the blue asked me to start interacting with people, and I do, and all of a sudden realize God's showing me, you're here because I'm wanting you to see how seniors are doing in their purpose. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, so I start interviewing people candidly, like, hey, I live in Lakewood. I'm not from here, but I'm just curious how you're doing in your purpose. I mean, it was messy. Two out of three people started crying immediately to me in the conversation. And that happened, and God showed me, Tim, you're going to do, I think I have a calling somehow either to empower somebody in that realm, but God's been showing me the elderly have been pushed to the side and they have the keys to our society to reawaken a lot. Nonetheless, I come home and I go, oh my gosh, had I not listened to Desire, I would have completely missed this.
Wow.
And I have story after story like this now where it's getting more increased. Weirdness is getting increased in a good way. When I listen to Desire.
I love the weirdness. I asked my daughter the other day, we were having a conversation. She's like, honey, or she said, Mom, what if my friends think I'm weird? I said, then they're not your people. And so, Tim, your weirdness, you're my people. This is great. Thank you. I love these stories. I have a question because, you know, you talk about Desire. I love leaning into, you know, what it's really the Holy Spirit, because we have the mind of Christ, right? It's the Holy Spirit. It's desire of our heart. It's who we are. It's God partnering with us. But you know that scripture in the Bible that says hope deferred makes the heart sick. And so do you ever get on calls with people where they've like, I've had this desire, I've pursued it, you know, just like, what are your thoughts on that? And do you have an answer? Are you Jesus?
I don't have that. No, so that's a great Proverbs 13:12. Hope deferred makes the heart sick. So I'm working on a book, and I'm going to be talking about heart sickness in the book quite a bit. And I do think everyone has some level of heart sickness on some level that they're recovering from. The interesting thing about that verse is the last part of it says, so it says, hope deferred makes a heart sick, but a desire fulfilled is a tree of life.
Yeah.
So I love that because it's saying to go after the fulfillment of desire. And the tree of life is a harking back to the garden. Mm-hmm. So it's actually giving us a picture of the life that was always meant to be, is desire being fulfilled. Which, by the way, the Garden of Eden, some people say in Hebrew is like, you could say it means delight. The Garden of Delight,
yeah,
or pleasure. Like, that's interesting that God always meant the original creation to be. So I think in heaven, by the way, we're going to be, it's desire is just, we're going to be on fire with desire. But in terms of helping someone with heart sickness, honestly, I think this may sound so simple, but just asking people the question that God asked you, what do you want?
Hey, did you know that right now, the number one thing that the algorithms are pushing across all social media platforms is, you guessed it, short form video. However, you might be finding it very time consuming to keep up with the high demand of video content for your business. Maybe you're not even sure if you're quote unquote doing it right and reaching your ideal audience. Well, at Rise Social Media Agency, we specialize in video content, and we will create, edit, and post your content for you so that you can focus on what you do best, running your business. From content creation to strategy to graphic design, creating lead magnets, and setting up automation, we will help you create content that captures your brand story and take the weight of social media off your shoulders. If this sounds like something that you're interested in, click the link below in the show notes to book a call.
Like, That to me is one of the most healing questions we can ask people. There's another question that goes along with this that feeds the heart too. And it's, what do you need? Those two questions help stimulate life in the heart like no other. I have found. And there's sometimes people need to do healing work. Sometimes they need to do therapy. I had to do some trauma work out of stuff. I did several years of therapy, and then more recently had to do some trauma work. What's funny though is even in the trauma work, God's showing me, oh, I was wanting to unlock even more of your desire. That's why you're healing, so you can do this thing with me more. So I think, I do think though, in the church, we're in a unique place in the sense of how respectable therapy is, which is cool. Mm-hmm. I do think though, that there's something else that, hope deferment there's something that I, you know, sometimes I feel like with this topic of if I feel like I've been wounded in the topic of my desire, or I tried something and it didn't work and it, you know, I'm not going there. Sometimes it feels like the only option is to go into the dark side of things and figure out why that's there. But I have found that sometimes actually just finding out what you do want actually pulls you out of the funk. So it's not always a going back and reprocessing, even though there's a place for that and we have to be sensitive to that. But I have found sometimes just deeply going after desire, and really asking that question like you did. You sat with it and you let it disturb you. I think when we ask people that question, we need to let it disturb people. We're laying in bed at night going, oh, what do I do with this question? Like, we're tossing and turning. This is good. God's like, this is good that you're tossing and turning. It's disturbing you so that you'll actually listen to it and take action.
Yeah, that's so good. I love that. I was going to ask you, do you find like people come to you and they feel stuck? They feel like, I don't know what the next step is. Like, a lot of people listening to this show are probably thinking that, or like I was, you know, like, what should I do, God? What's the next step? What's your plan? What's your will for my life? And is your go-to question, what do you want? And do you find people can answer that quickly? And if they can't, what do you tell them to do?
Yeah, good questions. There's two types of people that typically come to me. One are what are typically called reactive, where they are feeling stuck with something they can't get out of. The second type would be what I've heard called creatives, and not creatives in the sense of like doing creative work in their domain, art, in their career. Yeah. But these typically are people that are the go-getters, and they're not in a place of stuckness. They're wanting to constantly be on the front growing edge of where they're at. So those leaders know desire is actually going to unlock stuff for me as a leader. So in terms of answering the question, how quick or easy it is to answer desire, it's actually a very, it's a complex thing. So I built a framework to help people know this because it is multi-layered and we have a lot of voices up here in the air going, oh, you're not allowed to desire that. You're not allowed to desire that. So to me, the topic of what do we want? Like, there's some things like when that guy named, I really want to go advise the president. When I helped him slow down and he said, well, a next strategy could be doing this Habitat for Humanity. Would he be able to quickly name the next strategy based on desire? I'm not sure. I would actually say he's probably going to need someone to support him with that. So I think a key piece for this is really gauging. What you want. It's hard for me to get away from that. If people really want to like get clarity, and there's like, to me, a lot of desire is really around the fruit that's in our life. Like, if we're not seeing fruit that we're actually feeling compelled to engage in, like if we're not feeling like we're hitting our potential, that's usually a sign that there's some work to be done in the desire part of their heart. So honestly, this is where I think coaches are awesome. In general, coaches are designed to help people tap into this without having to go into your past. In fact, coaches should not be doing that because that's not what they're trained to do. Now, coaches can visit the past here and there, I know. I think coaching is a powerful thing because it helps you be present with the layers.
Yeah. Well, what I even love that you said was just slowing down. You know, it kind of seems like a lot of people, especially what you're talking about, leaders, creatives, we're like, go, 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 go. And we oftentimes like, just make a decision, just move, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
But sometimes like, I mean, I know for myself, I've even ended up in a place where I'm like, I don't even want this. Why was I working so hard for this? And I'm here, and I don't even want it. Do you find that sometimes people end up in that spot too?
Yeah. I mean, this is to me, like I work with, you know, at one point, most of my clients were between 57 and 63 years old. And most of them would tell me, I've hit bottom with spending decades of my life on something that I worked so hard on, and no longer will I do this anymore. And it hit me and I'm like, wow, like the humility it takes to admit that is so powerful. But yeah, I think we all are. I'm still like yesterday I sat on Lake Erie, this park, I had my journal open and I'm sitting with God and he asked me, what do you want about a specific topic? And there I am with him naming all this stuff. And I was even naming stuff where I was like, man, I'm doing this and this, and I don't want to do that anymore. So I think this process, it's going to take time and it's a process, but it is so fun and so life-giving when we know God has empowered us with the choice to step back and partner with him and look for opportunities that align. Now, some people, they go into a season of rest where God actually wants them to slow down for a season and find out, what are your desires? So that's common. I have a lot of clients that are like, I'm in a weird season where I just have like, and I tell people, look, if you're really wanting like radical clarity, like you need about a season to give your heart some time to buy it, because it's basically like this. Your heart cannot be duped. Like your heart is smart and it needs multiple pieces of evidence before it's really going to believe something as big as this is what I really want. So sometimes I think we can actually try to do fast food versions of desire, and it actually can end up that often is where the hope deferred comes, because we do a quick, well, I think I want this, and then we go after it. But if we sit with our heart longer, our heart's like, no, I'm trying to tell you in themes what you want. And so when we sit longer and give our heart a season, if we're in that space where we're like, I really don't know what to do, of course, the Holy Spirit is partnering. I mean, God is such a good coach. I'll ask God, what do you want to say about this? And sometimes he says crazy things. Sometimes he'll just say, you know enough, move forward. He told me that yesterday. He said, this is enough. And I'm like, oh, you're right. I need to step out.
Mm-hmm. You know what is really fun, like listening to you too, is like, if you think about our human body, right? If we hurt our toe, right? Our toe is going to talk to us. It's going to be like throbbing, right? Or if we eat some bad food and our stomach hurts, like it's going to talk to us. I've never actually contemplated how like our heart talks to us too. Mm. Like if we're doing something and it's drudgery and we hate it and it's this, but we're like, but I must persevere, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know actually, what are your thoughts on persevering in light of, I know that I understand the heart of your message, which is like just leaning into what God desires and what you desire too. But in light of your message, I am curious as far as like when people have to persevere or something like that, maybe that's already in the path to achieving a desire.
Yeah. So you're in terms of, are you asking like the fight to know what I really want to go after, even when it feels hard?
Yeah. Or even sometimes it seems like there's this teaching where it's like, you know, God calls us to a heart, like, you know,
yes,
suffering, a hard life. And I'm kind of over here just like, hang on a second. Jesus literally took our sin and our shame, and he literally brought us from death to life. Doesn't he want us to give us life abundantly? But I'm curious your thoughts.
Yeah. Oh, I love this topic. Okay. So here's what I'm finding. So when I'm working with clients, like, what I'm trying to help them do is get clear on their deepest desires.
Okay.
So there's levels of desires, and the enemy is wanting to hide our deepest desires. So that's what I'm getting. Okay. I'm getting people to clarity on what that is. So what I find is the deepest desires we have are the ones that are the hardest. So this is why when, like, I earlier on when I was doing this, I'd have people be like, oh, Tim, like, you know, life's more than just the happiness of your desire. Like, it includes suffering in the New Testament. And I'm going, well, I'm not sure they know what I'm talking about here, because when you're going after your deepest desires, actually, that's where the suffering is found.
That's so good, Tim. That's so good.
And it's, you know, so I have a friend who's in Africa, and he showed up on a call with me one day, and he said, hey, can you pray for me? Somebody is on the compound with a gun today, and their ministry was helping refugees who were being abused. And, you know, it's pretty sobering, obviously. Well, this guy's from the States. I knew him in Denver. We're good. You know, we're chums, we're friends. And he would tell me, Tim, I am not designed to live in the U.S. He says, it's not for me. He said, we've had all our kids in Africa. Is he suffering? Was he dealing with potential things that we don't typically deal with? Oh, yeah. But he would tell you the joy and the suffering are meant to go together. And I'm finding that, like, this is why the enemy hides our deepest desires, which is where our deepest impact is found. Because, and he uses the suffering argument against us. And he'll go, if you go there, you're going to suffer. And God goes, no, you will not suffer the way he is saying. You will be challenged in ways, and I will be with you through the whole thing. But this is where what I find is the deepest desires you have require you to be the most dependent on the Father for them.
Man, I am feeling this on every level.
I'm feeling it too still.
Yeah, this is so good. I was saying to somebody the other day, I'm like, I think everyone should be an entrepreneur. I'm like, because you're like creating and you're building and you're connecting with God and you're dreaming. I'm like, but also it's like the hardest thing I've ever done, you know? And so I love what you're saying. When we think of suffering, we think of like, I hate it. It's horrible. It's the worst, right? But when you're really fulfilling your calling, like Paul, right? He's in the prison, but he's experiencing freedom because he's like so connected to his why. He's so connected to his purpose that it's like, I'll suffer. And isn't that what they say passion is it's a willingness to suffer. And that's what you're helping people do, is discover their passions.
It's okay. Hard. It gets harder and harder the deeper you go into desire, but you want it more and more.
Yeah, that's pretty great. Wild. I love it so much. Tim, if people want to get connected to you or, you know, unlock their biggest impact, deepest purpose, how can they find you?
So they could go to my website at designdiscovery.com. I have a free test on there. I do the fivefold gifts as a doorway into desire. But that's how they can find me.
Okay. Well, I'm just so grateful that you came on the show today. Hope people got so much out of what you have to say and hopefully came into a whole new level of freedom to like share their heart's desires with God and come into a deeper relationship with him. So thank you so much for being on the show. And if you want clarity on your brand messaging, you can grab that. It's 3 steps to getting clarity on your brand messaging. It's in the show notes, and it's going to help you also get clarity on what it is that God's calling you to do and what he's calling you to share. So check that out and be here next week for another episode on the She Can Share podcast.